Good morning. Welcome to our program. I'm sure you have heard or read the news reports recently of Tim Tebow and Olivia Culpo. One headline read, "Former Miss USA dumps Tim Tebow because he's committed to abstinence until marriage." However, I read somewhere that one insider said that the former couple's split had nothing to do with Tebow's decision to remain abstinent. Whatever may be the truth there, one thing that is interesting is the way many in the media have reported on this split up. Some have mocked Tebow's commitment to abstinence. Some think it strange that one would remain a virgin until marriage. Well, that is sad. Is this where we have come to in our culture, that abstinence until marriage is ridiculed and made fun of? Well, another aspect of this subject is that for many years there has been an intense debate over how sex education should be taught in the public schools. One group believes that teenagers will be sexually active. There's nothing that can be done about it, and that people just have to accept this and teach these kids how to avoid disease or pregnancy. Another group says that teenagers ought to be taught to abstain from sexual activity until marriage, that abstinence before marriage is in their best interest, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and that they are very capable of making this decision if they are influenced properly. Well, the question I want us to consider on the program today is, where does God come down on this issue? What would He want us to teach young people about sex during the teen years before marriage? How does God view one like a Tim Tebow who chooses abstinence until marriage? Well, this is the focus of our lesson today, and we're glad that you're with us. Well, first of all, God requires abstinence before marriage. People in our culture may struggle with this issue. They may wrestle with what to say to kids about sex before marriage. But there is no doubt about God's will on this matter. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God." Now notice, God says that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is sexual relations outside of scriptural marriage. You see, marriage was ordained of God, and sexual relations within marriage between a husband and wife is good and wholesome. There's nothing dirty about sex in marriage. God gave us our sex drive, but His will is that it be satisfied in the relationship of the husband and wife. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2 says, "Because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband." He is saying that in order to avoid sexual immorality, get married. The Hebrew writer says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Hebrews 13, verse 4. Now, fornicators are the sexually immoral. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." And so fornication, sexual immorality, is condemned in Scripture. But the Bible goes further than this. It does not merely condemn the act of fornication, it condemns the evil conduct that leads up to it. Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21 lists the works of the flesh and says that if we commit such, we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Among this list are fornication and adultery. But also in this list is lewdness or lasciviousness. Well, what is lasciviousness? Well, the Greek word is defined as unbridled lust, absence of restraint, and wantonness. One who is sexually aroused outside of marriage and who throws off his restraints and inhibitions and is ready to indulge is guilty of lasciviousness. Well, what causes lasciviousness? Well, pornography, kissing and petting, etc., lead to such unbridled lusts. This leads then to fornication. To avoid fornication, then, one must avoid that conduct that leads to it. Jesus speaks to this issue when he said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Matthew 5, verse 28. It is not just fornication that is condemned. It is the evil motives, the evil intentions that lead to the unbridled lusts. Sexual intimacy is reserved for couples within the committed bond of marriage. We are to respect this boundary God has set. If you are not married, you must abstain from sexual intimacy. You must abstain from that which will lead to it. If you are married, you must abstain from sexual intimacy with anyone except your spouse. No matter what decision the so-called experts in our culture may reach, God requires abstinence. And this is what we must teach our young people. It's what we all need to practice. And for a good reason, it is the will of God. But another point we need to make here is that God's laws concerning sexual purity are given for our good. We need to remember that every command from God is rooted in His love. You know, some people seem to think that God's will concerning sexual purity was given just to keep us from having a good time. Well, God does not command sexual purity to make our life more difficult. Just the opposite is true. He demands that we be pure so that we will avoid the grief that comes with sexual sin. The choice to have sex before marriage or with someone else after marriage can come with a truckload of trouble. King David learned this lesson the hard way. David was tempted when he saw a beautiful woman bathing. He gave in to the temptation, committed adultery with her, and brought overwhelming grief into his world. Read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. Also, the book of Proverbs gives us God's wisdom for our lives. And several times in this book, we are warned of the sin of sexual immorality. The writer of Proverbs tells the young man that such sin will destroy his life. Look in chapter 6, beginning with verse 23. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals, and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." Also in Proverbs chapter 7, warning is given to the young man to keep himself from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. It says, beginning with verse 21, "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life." Teenagers need to stop and think about the price they might pay for a moment of passion. There's pregnancy. 3,000 adolescent girls get pregnant every day. If there is a pregnancy, it changes your life. 2/3 of teen moms never complete high school. 80% live below the poverty line for the next decade, and more than half stay there for the rest of their lives. Also, the children that are born are impacted. They are more likely to be in poor health and struggle through life. The boys are more likely to end up in prison, and the girls more likely to be unwed moms and continue the cycle. And there's also the problem of disease. 12,000 kids contract a sexually transmitted disease every day. And even more devastating, it affects your relationship with God. It separates you from fellowship with Him. You see, God's word is not to deprive us of pleasure. His will is for our good. When teenagers understand this and are encouraged to think about the consequences of sexual immorality, fewer are willing to get involved in it. They can and will practice abstinence until marriage if instructed and influenced properly. And there is a lesson here for godly parents. We need to be talking to our children about this. We need to be teaching them God's will in this matter. And another point that we need to make is God has confidence in our youth. There's one thing about the current debate over abstinence programs that is disturbing. It is the way teenagers are demeaned. Those who oppose teaching teenagers to abstain begin with this assumption. If you are a teenager, you simply are not able to control yourself. You lack the maturity, character, and self-discipline to control your desires. Well, every young person ought to be insulted by the suggestion that they are destined to commit fornication and nothing can be done about it. Well, young people, God has a higher estimation of you than this. He understood that it would not be easy to live a sexually pure life. When He required abstinence until marriage, He recognized that our sexual desires would be strong in our youth. He recognized that some disciples would live in cultures where sex would be talked about all the time. And He recognized that young people would face a lot of pressure to have sex and would be ridiculed for their purity. But He gave these instructions anyway. He gave them because He's looking out for you. He gave them because He knew that even in your youth, you have the ability to rein in your passions, discipline your lives, and do the right thing. He has confidence in you. And for that reason, He also has great expectations too. He expects you to do just that, control yourself, and follow His laws. And we also need to emphasize that God holds all of us accountable. You may have noticed that many of the passages we read earlier about sexual purity also mention the consequences that follow for those who reject God's law. Galatians 5:19-21 tells us that those who commit such sins as fornication, adultery, lasciviousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hebrews 13:4 says that fornicators and adulterers will be judged by God. Well, let's get firmly planted in our minds what we are discussing. Sexual purity is not an issue of judgment for each of us to decide for ourselves. Sexual sin is not youthful indiscretion to be lightly dismissed. God demands sexual purity. To disobey this command is sin. To persist in this path will cause us to be lost in the end. God has a standard. Men may ignore it or ridicule it, but His standard remains unchanged. One day all will give an account to that standard. To be plain, if we live sexually immoral lives, we will lose our souls. We need to take that to heart. We need to teach it to our children. Young people, God loves you and wants what is best for you. Let Him have His way in your life. Love Him and live your life His way. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address and the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. The address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.